This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever else. This is episode number 72. In this episode, we chat with Sean Bobby Phillips and Mike O'Connell, both of whom work at First Chair Travel Co., which is a travel company that provides like basically catered trips to the Banff area and also other areas coming soon. You can check out what they do at firstchairtravel.com. Let me just confirm that that is in fact... Yeah, firstchairtravel.com. You can check out the upcoming trips. I went on one last year to Banff and it was a ton of fun. Great group of people. Always a good time and definitely... some great, great local insights. And Mike goes out there all the time, so he kind of gives you an idea. So him, Sean, and I talk about skiing, how they got into this, what Sean does, because Sean just came on board with First Chair. Mike talks about how it started, why he got into it, what they like skiing, and then we take some questions from the audience. I apologize if it feels like I'm rushing through this, and that's because I am. I am back at the shop today from... that last trip to Denver, and I hope that there will be a ton of great feedback from the episodes that we did out there. First one will come out on this upcoming Tuesday, probably. Everything's always probably, with Katie Burrell, and then following that will be one with Marty Schaefer from Kapow Guiding. Both are incredible episodes and actually some of my favorite ever. So, but yeah, this one right here was a blast. I love talking to Mike all the time. I just met. He actually just showed up at my house, and him and his brother just showed up at my house, and we did this interview with Mike, and it was a great time. Before we get into the show, I just wanted to thank our sponsor for this episode, Drink Tanks. Drink Tanks is a beverage container company that makes some of the best insulated beverage holders in the world. They also make some pretty unique products. They make growlers in four different sizes, I believe. And the stuff is incredible. They also make this awesome kegerator cap, which is like a CO2-based cap that allows you to tap whatever. So if you fill one of their growlers with kombucha, beer, whatever, anything carbonated, this cap will turn that growler into a keg. It's pretty crazy. I'll put a clip up on my Instagram later. And show everybody how it goes, but it's the stuff is truly awesome. And there goes the phone. All right, I got to wrap this up. You can use promo code Out of Bounds to save you 15% off on your Drink Tanks purchase at www.drinktanks.com, and also be sure to check them out on the gram. It's a great page, and they do some awesome things, and I'm super happy that they're on board for quite a few episodes. Kevin's a great dude. Kevin over there in marketing is a great dude, and I'm super excited to be working with a company like this. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes if you can. It helps the show a ton. 5-star reviews, please, and thank you. Tell a friend to tell a friend about the show, and we'll talk to you guys soon. And also, obviously, be sure to follow First Chair Travel Co. on Instagram and Sean Bobby Phillips on Instagram. Both of them are great. Sean... we'll get into the episode, I guess. My apologies also for me chewing on an espresso bean in the beginning of this episode. I don't know what it is with me eating in the beginning of episodes lately, but like I feel like I've just been running around and I like just need to stuff something into my face real quick and then I get back on it. So in the middle of this, I'm like chewing on an espresso bean. So there's like a weird gap in conversation because I'm like trying to swallow this thing and like, all right, that's it. Before I say anything dumb. All right. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday. All right, bye.
Fucking do this thing, huh? Who the fuck are you guys? And what do you do? Tell me a little bit about yourself. Mike, Sean.
I'm Sean Phillips. I'm from Lake George, New York, and I ski.
I'm Mike O'Connell. I'm originally from Rome, New York, and currently live in Cumberland, Rhode Island, and I own First Chair Travel Co.
What does First Chair Travel Co. do? We should talk about this first and then get it out of the way, and then we'll move on to like other things as well, you know?
Sounds good. So First Chair Travel Co., we bring skiers and riders to rad destinations. That's what we're all about. And we currently focus on British Columbia and the Banff area.
Okay.
That's kind of our primary focus right now. and we're looking to, you know, continue to expand that, and we'll see where that goes.
Okay. How long have you been doing it?
2 years. 2 years. Yeah. So we're still a relatively new organization.
But you were with, you did another organization. You're working for your dad's organization?
Yeah. Right? So how I got into it is my dad started 47 North Adventures, and they take skiers to Austria. And so that's how I got into the business.
I got this fucking thing going on right now, like in my throat. So like, if I don't like drink something or eat something, it's just going to be like the whole time. I'm just going to be coughing and sneezing and coughing and sneezing. It's like, it's been going on for like couple days now, but I think it's just the Biggie. Have you guys been to the Biggie yet? Have you been to the Biggie before?
No.
Do you know what the Biggie is?
No.
Do you know what the Biggie is?
I've heard about the Biggie.
What the fuck?
quite a shit show from what I'm seeing.
Let's talk about this for a second here. So the Biggie is the Eastern States Exposition. It's a fair, basically. It's like a state county fair. There's like 100,000 plus people every day for 2.5 weeks long.
Wow.
It's basically just a fair of glutton. Like, it's just like all you can eat everything, fried cookie dough, fried almond joys, fried fucking martinis. There's literally everything under the sun. And obviously, a lot of alcohol, and there's also retail there. So that's where like my stories recently have been coming from, is like just at the Big Eat, like the story I did yesterday where it was like,
you're trying to hurt people with
rollerblades. Trying to hurt people with rollerblades that are actually ski boots, you know, and like that kind of shit. And then
punching little girls in the face.
Punching little girls in the face and, you know, tripping old men. It's down the street in West Springfield. I'm actually surprised you guys got here on time, because there's usually a shit ton of traffic on the way into town because of it. It's literally just like down on, I don't even know what, it's like Century Plaza, that area downtown. It's like a 1 mile by half a mile area, but it's just like a fucking, like, herds and herds of people. It's Animal House. It's Animal House. It's crazy. So the point is, the ski shop has a booth there, so we're selling skis to these people.
Doing well?
It's good. It's really good. It's not good for my health, for sure. That's the point of what I'm saying. It's like, it's very bad. Like, it's like I'm on every day from 1 to 10, 11, and it's just like nonstop. Hi, how are you? How's the fair? Oh my God, that's amazing. And most of the time it's like, you know, I used to ski, but then skis were too long. Yeah. And then I hurt my ankles, and then I couldn't ski anymore. And then you're just like, oh, that's a bummer. And then they're like, yeah, but fuck skiing. And then they move away, you know, and then they just run away, you know, like, and you're just like, all right, this is not really what I wanted to do for 50, 60 hours a week. But I mean, it's good. We sell a lot of stuff. We move product. I mean, that's kind of the idea.
It's just another way to live the dream.
It's starting the season for us. The nice thing about the Big Eat, like the plus, is like when the Big Eat's over, I feel like I immediately turn into like ski mode. Like, I'm like ready for it to be ski season.
Yeah.
Cause I know like the hump of the Big Eat is over. Like it's done with. I don't have to deal with that shit anymore. Like, and I can just like hope that I'm not there next year. And that's really all there is to it, you know?
Yeah.
So what's going on with you guys? Both of you guys, what's up? Like, how do you guys, so you guys just actually met right now.
Yeah. So, it was funny. I was telling you earlier, I actually unknowingly met Mike's dad at the Albany Ski Expo a year ago. I was walking through, I saw the 47 North Adventures booth, and I was like, wow, that looks rad. This guy looks cool. I'm going to go talk to him. And one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And little did I know, a year later, his son, you know, kind of reached out to me, and now we're, you know, partnered together, and I get to help out with his social media and, you know, work with his amazing team at First Chair. And from what I've seen and talked with the employees there, the footage is amazing. The videos, you know, are exactly what you'd want from any trip. And I'm super excited to be a part of this group.
Yeah, we're glad to have you, man. And we just officially met in person, but, you know, we've been kind of talking through Instagram and
on the internet.
We had a few, on the interwebs. Few video chats for meetings.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't it funny how, like, you can meet people on the internet? Like, that's a normal thing now.
Yeah.
Like, not just, like, Tinder and shit, but, like, really, like real life meeting people, like, actually having
functional... Well, that's actually how Sean and I met.
Yeah, on Tinder. That's funny. Farmers Only. You guys met on Farmers Only.
Farmers Only.
You heard that here first. And, that's where people meet nowadays is on the internet.
Oh, it's crazy. And I think especially with with any industry, obviously you got a lot in common, but the ski industry is so close-knit. And you know, I think anybody that you can, it's very accessible now with social media and reaching out to whether that be brands or athletes or whatever. Chances are you're going to get a response. And you know, I think we all have a lot in common, and we just want to really just, you know, share the passion of skiing. And that's kind of, you know, what I think brings us all together. And that's a big part of what First Chair is all about, is the camaraderie. I mean, you were out there last year, Adam, and you know, those are lifelong friends, man. You know,
you make real friends there for sure. And it's the other thing too, is like, you get the full experience. And I started telling him earlier, is like, the main thing about the trip and the way that you guys do it is that you're kind of like all together. Like, you get to hang out together, you get to experience town together. You don't feel like you're on this trip alone, because sometimes when you're on, like when you're in these new places, you're like, wow, this is beautiful. But it's like, I don't know where the fuck I'm going. I don't know what to do. I don't know anybody. And that part of it is kind of a bummer sometimes on these trips, you know? So that's one of the things that I was like pretty taken aback by, was just how comfortable everybody was immediately together because of the way it's set up. But yeah, I mean, that's I think the thing you have to look forward to most is, like, obviously the skiing's great, the town's great, and the trip is actually pretty easy, but it's fun, it's a good time. And like, the other thing is too, is like, you don't have to, if you're like an introvert and you don't want to be part of the group. I mean, we had people last year that were like, that didn't do the group activities all the time. They did some, but they didn't do all of them. They were just like, they did their own thing and they moved on. And it's like, you're not required to do stuff. You know, it's like, you're paying your money to be on these trips. So it's like, I feel like I'm selling this trip for you right now.
But you're doing a great job.
But it's fun. I mean, that's really what it's about. Like, you get the full package, full experience. And I mean, with the connections that First Chair and Mike have there, you actually get to meet people that live there. You get to hang out with people that
you get
live
the local
there.
Experience.
You get the real local experience, and you don't feel like you're a traveler, tourist. A tourist in a different city or a different, like, touristy town. I mean, Banff gets a lot of foot traffic, right? Like, they get a lot of traffic for people that are just there to visit, which is crazy. I didn't know that it was more in the summer than it is in the winter.
Yeah, the sun. I was actually just there 2 weeks ago, and I mean, Moraine Lake. It was absolutely,
it's Instagram heaven,
mob scene. Exactly. Yeah.
It's Instagram heaven.
Yeah. There's actually an account, and it's like the people of the Banff Park. And it's like, you know, a local that takes photos of people doing Instagram shots. It's absolutely hilarious.
That's kind of like the people of walmart.com.
Yeah. Kind of like the people of Banff, yeah. People of the Banff National people Park. Banff. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, that's exactly, you know, what we do, Adam. And we don't want someone to have an experience where, you know, they're going out, they're going to this new resort, and they're spending 2-3 days getting to know the lay of the land. And that's really pivotal, right, in the experience that we bring, is whether it be, you know, riding with local athletes or, you know, just people in town in general, to, you know, an actual guided experience, which is what we do out in Kicking Horse. Our friend Kelsey out there, she grew up in Golden. She knows that mountain like I know Gore. And, you know, showed us every single nook and cranny, and these, you know, 20-minute boot packs turned into just an unbelievable day. And that stuff that you probably, if you went on your own, you probably wouldn't be getting into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. My brother and I cross-country road tripped this past spring. We did Utah, Colorado, and came back. I mean, I've had the pleasure of skiing at Snowbird multiple times, and I was able to kind of show him every nook and cranny of Snowbird. But we popped over to Alta for a day, and we were just like, we didn't really know where to go. So we just kind of followed, you know, the other people that kind of looked like rad skiers. We were like, oh, that guy looks like he's going to go ski something.
Yeah, you look like you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I was going to
say, hey, you want to be friends?
Yeah. I was like, let's go follow you. And like you said about the ski industry, everyone's pretty friendly.
I think for the most part, the only people that aren't are the people who are in the ski industry and don't ski anymore. Like, yes. That's like my experience with it, is like, because it's kind of a shit industry to be in if you don't do the thing that everybody's talking about that they love. I mean, but I guess
everyone's diehard
with everything, you know, but especially with the ski industry, because everybody is a diehard.
Yeah.
So it's like a give and take, I guess. If you're in the ski industry to make money, it's the wrong industry for you.
Oh, because yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just like, you're going to be fucking chasing your tail around the whole time. Like,
you're going to be disappointed.
You're going to be disappointed. And once you get to the top, you're going to be like, this isn't all that crazy, yeah, is it?
This is
you
it. Know?
This yeah. is what it is. All right. So yeah, I mean, that's what ends up happening. So it's, I don't know. Yeah, I'm excited to go back again. I'm excited to check it out. But I think, to your point, like, you don't have to spend those, you know, those first few days, like, getting to lay of the land. Like, that's what was cool about it too, because, like, you usually see people go back to the place that they go to visit, and that was so amazing because like they only start to getting to know it like by the end of the trip.
Yeah.
And they want to go back and like re-experience that whole thing. And I mean, you do want to go back to Banff because I'm sure there's more, but it's, you went and you feel like you actually were on a vacation. Like it actually was like,
you weren't trying to learn.
I've never seen a vacation where someone was like, where the whole group was just like, fuck, that was great. Like, I don't want to go back tomorrow. You know, like most of the time at the end of a 5-6 day trip, people are like, I'm done. You know, like I want to go home. I'm ready to go home. But everybody there was like, I want to be here the rest of the time. Like, I wish I could just move. Like, I wish I could just stay here.
Yeah.
So
it's just tough because, like, you know, lift tickets are getting to be $120-$150 a day. You're not going to
spend $210 if you're a Vail.
Oh my God,
so crazy.
It was like you're going to waste half your day learning the mountain, and you're going to pay $210 to actually ski for 4 hours the stuff that you want to ski.
Yeah, price that out per run.
Yeah,
you know, it's wild.
You'll cry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's an expensive fucking sport. I mean, it truly is. And that's why you see like a lot of this touring stuff is like getting more and more popular because
free skiing.
It's basically free. Well, yeah. Other than the super expensive setup you need to go uphill, you know, like it is free skiing in a way. And I guess you don't need a super expensive setup.
I was going to say, buy some snowshoes.
Buy some snowshoes, do it up. That's the thing. Yeah, you'll get some legs for sure. You'll definitely have a go. And maybe that's like the way it should go because then a company will want to give you better deals on shit, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I don't know what the program is, but. What's what do you guys got going on this season? What's the plan? Anything exciting happening?
Yes, I mean the big focus is we're heading out to Banff March 7th through the 14th. So basically everything leading up to that is centered around that trip and filling that trip. So we're going to be releasing hopefully around the time this episode comes out, we'll be releasing online booking. So people can just go to firstchairtravel.com and hop on there and reserve their spot. We're super flexible from, it's just a deposit of $250. And then if you want to pay in installments, go for it. If you want to pay in full, that's great too. And then, basically what we'll be doing is we've got all the expos that are coming up, the Boston Ski Expo is coming up. You know, we'll be out there hitting a lot of the Warren Miller premieres. So we'll probably come back out to West Springfield here and hit this one as well as Boston, Providence, and a few others. And we're going to be doing a lot up at Killington as well. And I'll tell you, I haven't been to Killington in probably 15 years. And I went up.
It's still great.
It's unbelievable, man. I went up for the pond skim. Ryan at Till I Die hit me up. He's like, hey, man, come up to the pond skim. I'm judging. I'm like, all right, I got to see this because anything that guy's involved in is just absolutely.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious.
I'm going to stop plugging this guy. This guy gets more play on this fucking show than anybody else.
Well, he's a great dude.
He's a great dude.
And, always willing to help. And I was just talking to him this week about a few things that we've got going with them. But so, and I go up, and it is an absolute party.
Okay, and madhouse.
And it's the perfect demographic for us. I mean, it's late 20s, early 30s, young professionals from, the New York City area as well as the Boston area. And just met a ton of like-minded people. So we'll be heading up to Killington probably quite a bit this season. Hitting up the Adirondacks as well. My home mountain growing up was Gore, Whiteface.
And they just got a new logo.
Yeah, got a new logo. It's so yeah, we'll be heading up there as well. So doing what we can to support the East Coast ski community. We're all East Coast skiers predominantly.
Definitely.
Both from the people that are involved in the business as well as our guests. So we really want to support our roots.
Yeah. What's the Boston Ski Expo like? Is this your first show like that you're gonna actually be hanging around at? Are you hanging around at it? Are you actually displaying shit? Like, what's the deal? What are you doing?
I'm gonna be hanging around,
just walking around,
handing out business cards and stickers,
tackle
man.
People you fucking find that might be interested.
Yeah, exactly.
Just attack them at the door.
Yeah, exactly.
That show is crazy, man. Like, I never until last year. Last year was the first year I ever went. You know, like I never go because it's another shop that runs it. So it's like, what the fuck do I need to go? And so I'm not going to pay $10 at the door to come in and support another shop. Right.
Right.
So with the podcast, it's like, I have to go and I have to be like, yeah, no, this is great. This is awesome. Like we get to, I get to meet all these people and we'll have a podcast together. You know, we'll do something, you know? But it's insane. Like people like by the hundreds are buying product there. Like they're like fucking shoveling their shit into their cars or they're walking home with it. I saw a motherfucker like with a board in his backpack, like a regular backpack, riding his bike from the expo. And it's just like that happens all the time, I guess, there. It's just like people think it's some kind of crazy deal. And it, I mean, there are deals.
There's definitely deals.
On lift tickets and stuff there are. But on gear, it's like, you know, but to be fair, it's the same at the Big E. Like I just mentioned, it's like where there's deals, you know, like, and there's also, there's real deals and there's deals, you know? Like, they're not really.
Yeah, and when you're 3 or 4 beers deep, it's a deal.
Oh,
and,
everything's a deal when you're exactly. 3 or 4 beers. Yeah, that's really what ends up happening, I think, more often than not at both places. So it's, I guess that's part of it. But yeah, it's insane to see the amount of people in the Boston, in the greater Boston area that are super excited about it and that are super excited about this show. I think the main thing is the lift ticket deals, you know? It's like, it's they're cheap there. Like, you can go and you can buy lift packages, you know, whatever they call them now. I don't know.
Right. And going back to Sean's point, I mean, you know, paying over $100 a day is crazy. And, you know, any opportunity to, whether that be the premieres, the, you know, Warren Miller TGR premieres, they do some great lift ticket incentives too. But Boston Ski Expo is great. I love that. You know, that whole setup, the park setup they have, you know, there's actually some pretty good kids that are out riding there, which is cool to watch too. So head up there and it'll be a good time.
Do some shit.
Yeah.
So what else is going on with you? Like, what's your plan?
Not much. Just getting ready to move out to Salt Lake City, actually.
So that's your plan.
Yeah. I've been skiing in the East Coast kind of most of my life. And the past 2 years in a row, I've taken some trips out West and kind of just, you know, fell in love with it. Definitely want to go out there and, you know, experience, you know, the true kind of backcountry and free ride lifestyle out there. Gonna be skiing mostly at a Snowbird Alta
sick
area. And I mean, as you know, we all know some of the best skiers in the world, you know, those are their home mountains. And you know, I just, you know, super excited to kind of explore that territory.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. I didn't realize what it was like until I got out there last year, and I was like, fuck, this is so, it's so good. It's steep. It's fast. It's fun.
I think it's the centralized location too. Kind of, you know,
you get off the fucking plane, it's half an hour to get to the mountain.
Well, it's more like the East Coast. Like, you know, we're like, all right, you want to go to Smuggs, Med River, Stowe, Whiteface. Everything's a 2-hour, 3-hour drive.
Yeah,
it's true. And it's like Salt Lake. You want to go up to Jackson, over to, you know, Colorado, you know, you want to shoot over to, you know, Squaw.
That's a good place to be.
It's everything's, you know, within a car drive. You don't need a plane really for much unless you're headed up to Whistler or something like that.
Even the city's super organized, you know,
clean.
So I didn't get it at all when I first got there. I was like, what the fuck is this grid shit going on? You know, like I don't even know how to navigate it. And then by the end of it, I was like, oh, if you just actually use your brain a little bit, it works.
It actually works, right?
Yeah, totally. Why does everybody have this?
Like, dude, it's just like driving around downtown Salt Lake and you're just like, oh my God, this is the cleanest place I've ever been in my life. There's no trash anywhere. Everything is super new. I think that's the biggest thing. It's there's so much expansion there.
Yeah.
It's just everything's new. Everything's bright. And you know, people are really friendly there. I mean, we were driving around with, you know, New York plates and skis on top, clearly tourists.
Yeah.
And everyone's, you know, like, you know, open for directions, telling us the best places to go eat. You know, it's a really welcoming community.
Hmm. Yeah, no, it's good. We've had a couple people on now from that area. Most recently, Dave Emerald, who was the
marketing director at Snowbird. I follow Dave on Instagram, and they call him Digi Dave.
Digi Dave.
And yeah, I have to say, he is one of the funniest people that I follow Instagram.
He's one hilarious. Of my favorite follows. He truly is one of my favorite follows on Instagram. He's always entertaining. He's always down everybody's neck. And like, but it's like, it's with some love. And it's just like,
yeah, I watched his stand-up stories the other day. Yeah. I was like, I would love to meet him someday.
He has some good bits, man. He's a good bit for sure. Like, let me know when you're out there.
And yeah.
I'll try to hook it up a little bit. You know, that dude's a blast.
Yeah, he's a riot.
So you're moving out there. What are you taking with you? What's your plan? Like, are you taking everything? Are you really moving? Or are you
I kind of plan. I mean, I drive an old beater Civic.
Yeah.
I kind of plan on half the rack being my mountain bike, half the rack being a couple pairs of skis, and then whatever clothes. And I have a neon bar skiing light, and whatever I can fit in the back seat in the trunk, and just go. I'll find a bed out there. I'll find couches out there, and just kind of going. I'm hoping to hopefully, you know, be a ski instructor or something out there, and maybe, you know, wait tables, kind of just make some money.
Do the ski bum.
And then
ski bum schlep.
And then just kind of, you know, meet some people, shoot some good footage, and, you know, have fun. It's a great group of people in the ski industry, no matter, you know, whether you're in Squaw, Jackson, Salt Lake, you know, anywhere.
what's the end goal for you? Like, what do you want to, what do you really want? I'm assuming being a ski instructor is not like going number one, right?
I would
like,
love to, I'd love to work in corporate.
Really?
Yeah. I just graduated from SUNY Geneseo in New York, and I would love to kind of work in corporate structure somehow with mountain ops or, you know, ski school, some order of that, kind of in, you know, the higher up end of things, and then, you know, ski when you can, but still put on, you know, some slacks and a dress shirt.
Yeah. So you like that part of it
at the end of the day. I like both sides of it. Yeah. You know, I grew up with it in my family. My dad worked at, you know, Killington back in the '80s, and then now he works at Gore. And, so I've been around the mountain ops side of things before. And, I just think working, you know, people work so much that you can't not like your job.
Yeah.
You have to like where you work. You have to like the coworkers that you're with. And, whether you're making 50 grand a year and you love your job, is it really worth you making more money to hate your job?
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, I'd rather do what I love and enjoy every day I'm on this earth than, you know, than only enjoy Saturday and Sunday. I go, yeah. I'd rather enjoy 7 days a week. I go, because hating five and loving two, well, that's not a really good ratio.
It doesn't even
the ratio is not going to work for me.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And like you said, you're only in your 20s. How old are you now?
Yeah, I turned 23 in 2 weeks.
Okay, cool. Well, so, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Actually, it'll be happy birthday when this comes out.
So yeah.
Happy birthday. So it's crazy, man. Like your brother was just saying, like we're only in our 20s once, right? I mean, Mike was already in his 20s. We're only in your 30s once, Mike.
Come on, now. Yeah.
You're still a young gun.
Yeah, that's right.
But no,
for sure. That's still young, man.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate that. Oh, what a confidence, man.
Hey, I was, what's it called? One of my buddies was over at Mad River last year skiing with Glenn Plake. And I mean, that guy's...
Man's young.
That guy's still ripping every single day
and living
the dream.
You know what's crazy about that guy, too, is like he is still so psyched to take a picture with people.
Oh, loves
it. Like when he was at Stratton for Pico for the demo this year, for like the On Snow demo, he was like... People coming up to him and like, hey, can I get him? I watched it happen 20 times in a row. Dude's just trying to eat lunch, you know? And
yeah.
Like, I would be like, get the fuck out of my face, you know? Like, seriously, like, get out of my hair. And this dude's just like, yeah, like, totally. He's just like,
he's eating it up, yeah.
Genuinely psyched. And I can't imagine how many times that's happened to that dude. Because he's a standout. Like, he's truly a standout. He's an icon in the industry. And like...
And I think that's how you have to be if you're going to be an icon in the ski industry.
Yeah, you have to, for sure.
You got to be friendly. You got to be open.
Because otherwise, like, the people that are dicks, that are actually dicks, like, you know who they are.
Yeah.
And, like, people know, and that's just, like, part of their deal, and nobody wants to be those people, I think. So.
No.
No, and that down-home tour he does when he's hitting all those small resorts throughout America, but specifically on the East Coast, that is so cool to see.
Yeah, people love it. I mean, everyone goes to the big resorts, but hitting the local spots is...
In my opinion, that's where the best skiers are. I mean, yeah. I'm all about Magic. I absolutely love Magic.
I love the free ride competition there last year.
They've got an awesome vibe going on there, and there's some ripping good skiers that ski Magic, you know, on a daily or, you know, very regular basis. And a lot of these small resorts and these independent resorts, you know, I think will thrive, even though they've got the challenge with Icon and Alterra.
Yeah.
And, you know, but there's definitely a place for them in the market for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that, you know, one of my favorite, you know, homegrown places is always going to be Mad River. It's about an hour and a half from my house. And some of the best skiers, I had a pleasure of skiing with, you know, a couple of guys that ski for Flylo too, up at Mad River last year. And they just moved out to Montana. But I mean, East Coast wise, they're some of the best skiers I've ever met in my life.
Totally.
Just skiing all through the woods, throwing backflips off of stuff that should not be backflippable. And I'm just like, you know, God bless you guys. You know, you're good. They're rip. They absolutely rip.
Yeah. It's really crazy. Like, it's crazy to see, like, how... I guess to a certain point, like, skiing shitty conditions makes you a better skier.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like, because you can ski... Everybody can ski a pow day.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most passionate skiers are from the East Coast.
Yeah, because you're skiing when it's shitty. Like, you're going out even though it's bullshit. Like, so many days you're out there and you're just like, this fucking sucks, man. Like, this is hard and it's sliding, but you're still out there. Like,
yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, I have to say, my brother Jacob is got on a snowboard for the first time ever last year. We took him in, I think, April to Gore. Like, patches everywhere. Like, he hit more dirt falling than he did actual snow. We got to the end of the day. First thing he said, he goes, when does Gore open again? And I'm just like, that's East Coast right there. It's like, it's not good all the time. And, you know, you're going to have crappy days. It's going to be icy. But if you love it, if you want to try it, you know, you're going to be psyched to get back out there.
No, for sure. And I mean, that freeze and thaw cycle we had last year was brutal. But I mean, you know, we're out there on boilerplate days, and then, you know, we're out there on a powder day. And like I said, East Coast skiers are the most passionate, I think. And because we have to deal with such variable conditions, and that's one of the, you know, big reasons though that I got into ski travel to begin with was you're not getting those epic powder days, and you know, you got to go to it. So, you know, my first time ski traveling was heading out to Austria when I was in high school, and wait tables all summer long, save every single penny, and we went out on a family, actually more friends, out to this small little village in Austria in Surfhaus. And that was just completely eye-opening to what is available from not only from a train standpoint, but from a cultural standpoint. And really, that initial trip was both the starting point for 47 North Adventures eventually.
Yeah.
When my father and his business partner Lou retired, they had been leading a trip pretty much every year, just kind of organically through friends and family. And that just evolved over time to the point where when they retired, they're like, you know what, let's make this official.
Yeah.
And really started with First Chair too. I mean, I went out there on a scouting trip the preceding March, like March of 2018, and I just absolutely fell in love with the place. I think the Canadian ski culture is very similar to the Austrian ski culture in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, my partner actually lives in the town outside of Banff in Canmore, and she's a teacher. And she'll get emails from parents that are like, hey, the lake got 20 cms last night. Little Johnny's not coming to school today, you know? And that's what it's all about. And, you know, being able to bring East Coast skiers to those different destinations is really a privilege. And
yeah.
I absolutely, you know, love seeing people have that experience.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm like, I don't know. I'm psyched for this fucking season, man. I
can't
wait to get.
Dude, going. I've been absolutely itching.
What's sorry, go ahead.
John. No, you're, I was just saying, like with the recent TGR drop and everything, I've just been going crazy. I'm like, all right, we need snow. I actually, I told my buddy I was mountain biking yesterday, and I told my buddy, I go, hey, he goes, what? I go, Killington opened in less than a month last year. And he goes, wait, really? I go, yeah, less than 4 weeks Killington was open last year. Mm-hmm. I go, that's insane. I go, I'm ready to get on some skis right now.
For sure.
100%. I think everybody is. Speaking of skiing, when are we doing this Portillo trip, dude?
Portillo!
What's going on? I thought we were getting a Portillo trip for this year going.
Yeah.
First year travel.
Well, if you put it out on Instagram, then you know that it actually happens, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's real.
It's
so.
Got to be Instagram
it's real.
Official.
It's real. Everything's real. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to get out there this coming summer.
Yeah,
and let's do it. We should definitely talk about that.
We should do it. I'm 100% down. I think Ski Town All Stars is down. Chris,
all right.
Chris Bavona. I'm sure we can convince Mr. Till I Die to come out too. We can get a whole grip of people out there. It'd be fun, man.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Because you know, we're not going to take anybody somewhere where we haven't been. So we definitely want to do a scouting trip before we do anything and make that local connection. And you know, we're really particular about the shops that we work with, the brands that we work with. And you know, we really want to nail that down. So yeah, Chris, you guys get the whole crew out there. That would be awesome.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We should talk about that a little more. All right, let's do some questions that people have asked you guys. All right. Leading off, as always, Till I Die Official wants to know, what's your most awkward Tinder encounter?
Oh, God. I don't have one. Ryan, I don't got one. Sean?
Mine was probably, you know, opening weekend of college. I think it was it freshman year? And so, you know, matched with a few people, walk into first day of class, three of them are sitting in there. And you're like, wow, I'm a freshman, first day of college, probably not the best way to start it out.
Welcome to The Bachelor.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see here. Ski No Boundaries wants to know, you can only ski one Northeast mountain the rest of your life. Which one is it?
Great question.
It's a good question.
That's tough. I'm gonna have to. I'm not a groomer guy, so I'm gonna have to say Mad River.
Okay.
It's.
I think that's fair.
It's got some gnarly terrain, and you know, they really do get a ton of snow.
Yeah, they do.
They get a lot of snow.
How east are we talking?
I'm talking northeast. The northeast. That's what we're talking.
That's a great question. No boundaries, guys, are awesome. Do a little home cooking here. I'd say Gore. I mean, I skied that for
Gore is your choice. All right, I have a problem with this choice, I think.
All right, let's go.
I've never skied it.
Yep.
So I probably can't say a whole heck of a lot, but why Gore?
I think it's partly nostalgia. Okay. It's my home mountain. Gore has a ton of different terrain too.
They really do. You get lost easily.
You can get lost. You've got some glade runs. There's some really good steep stuff there. Comparatively, Whiteface is fantastic as well.
Oh my God, Whiteface!
You know, Whiteface on a good day, it doesn't get any better. No, I mean,
if they open the slides and you get some, you know, foot and a half on Skyward, I would say that's the only gripe I have with Whiteface is if Whiteface got Mad River, J Peak, Smugs type of snow, Whiteface is number one. But for consistent snowpack, consistent fun skiing, I would say Mad River. But Whiteface terrain, I mean, between the vertical drop and the slide zone, it's about as West Coast as you're going to get in the slides.
Agreed.
I got skeptical hippo eyes for sure on both of you guys on this.
All right, let's flip this. Where'd
you go?
Oh, Stowe.
Stowe, no doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I don't think it's even close. There's just so much option, like so many options. The snow's good so often. Yeah. They get more snowfall than a lot of the other places that you guys mentioned. And it's just like, granted, I will say, I don't like that it's owned by Vail. I don't like the corporate side of it. But I mean, like we had Mr. Adam X on here the other day, and he's talking about like you get fucking pancakes in line on a powder day, you know, like first, or you get burritos in the line rather on a powder day, like the first 100 people or whatever get burritos on a powder day. Like, I mean, there's not a lot of mountains that still do stuff like that. They make you really feel like it's, you know, it's a real place to go. It's like it's a real thing. Yeah, you know?
I can't really weigh in on that. I've actually don't put me down. I've never skied Stowe.
That's okay. I mean, I don't ski it like I don't get to ski it a ton. I mean, it's still 3.5 hours from here, so it's like
it's not the distance for me. I was in college for the last 4 years, and I don't have the money.
It's expensive. It truly is expensive.
Everyone does say it's awesome though.
It's great, but I mean, if you get a pass, like if you're on an Epic pass or whatever, then it's actually really, I mean, it's great. It's some of the best skiing that you can have in New England, I think. So that's would be my choice. I also like a lot of the other places too. Like, I mean, Cannon's great because Cannon's steep. Like you can get that pitch. Like that's great. So there's a lot of reasons for a lot of different mountains. I'm not a big New York guy. I don't know. I just can't bring myself to be like, oh, I'm going skiing in New York. Like, it just doesn't make sense to a lot of people, I think. Yeah. But I know there's good skiing. I will get out there this year.
If you
actually
have
plans.
Bring your GS skis and we'll go to Skyward.
We'll bomb. Yeah. Okay.
We'll just bomb Skyward.
I'm down. I'm definitely not saying if I change my mind, I reserve the right to change my mind on these things. However, big skeptical hippo eyes.
No, for sure. And there's definitely
Mad River, I think, is a good answer.
There's better terrain. There's, you know, both snow, Sugar Bush, a lot of those northern Vermont areas. Yeah. Sugar Bush is fantastic as well. But, you know, kind of going back to that point of affordability, too. And ironically, No Boundaries asked this question. And those guys, their goal is to get people on snow for $50 a day. And which is awesome. Fantastic. And they were actually our first partner. And I made the decision to start First Chair on a Ski No Boundaries trip at Okemo, riding the chairlift, just talking to some people. And it's just like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And I ended up linking up with Matt and Bill at a coffee shop in Boston after that. And, you know, we talked about, you know, partnering together and marketing together. But, you know, those guys they're doing God's work, man. I mean, they're bringing families and individuals out to these mountains for $50 a day, which is incredible.
And we need that in the industry now. It's hard because you have a lot of people that want to ski a couple times a year. But,
yeah,
they're not going to dish out $900 for a ski setup and then another $120 a day.
No, it's expensive. Skiing's an expensive sport, and that's one of the reasons that I think, you know, things like these passes are important for people because, like, or like that Indy Pass that I just mentioned earlier it's actually good for people that don't ski a ton, but that want to go and see different places and they like being outside because you get to explore these different independent resorts that you wouldn't go to otherwise. They might not be huge, but for $200,
yeah,
it's a lot of days on hill
exactly
for $200. I mean, it's pretty insane. So that's one of the reasons that I think. you'll see more and more of these passes, these collaboratives, these groups kind of come together because it's got to be more affordable. Because shit, and like life is expensive, man.
Well, life's
like,
expensive, and we're in the Northeast. Winters are long. If you don't get outside, you're inside for a long time.
Why are you in New England? Move to Florida. Like, I mean, exactly. There's places where it's warm and it's cheap, like all the time. Like, Florida is a shithole for a lot of time. A lot of the time, we don't have very good listenership in Florida, as you can imagine. So.
And I don't think I'll ever go to Florida. So
I've been to Florida plenty of times. Yeah. I think it's great for like 4 or 5
for
days.
Disney World.
You know, and you go, no, not SeaWorld. big out on SeaWorld.
No, Disney World.
Oh, Disney World. Yeah, definitely in on Disney World. Disney World, and what's the other thing?
Universal.
Universal.
Like the Harry Potter land.
Dude, I did that last year. I almost yacked 100 times on that, like, because they do this, like, it's like semi-animated, but you're also like in a real thing. Like, you're in this big couch looking thing, right? And you're flying through Hogwarts, right? But you're like really, I mean, you're actually moving, but you're only moving from like this side of the house to the other side of the house. Like, it's not that far, but it feels like you're going fucking miles. Like, and then like shit's like attacking you. There's shit flying in the air. Like, there's all this, dude, I almost yacked so many times. Like, it was, but I will say, it was fucking nuts. That place is crazy. Shout out to Universal. Big plug for Universal. Florida's not a, I'm not a big fan of Florida.
How did we get here?
All right. I don't know. We started on what ski resort do you want to be at, and now we're on Florida and Universal. I have another question here. I have a lot of other questions, but let's find a good one. Oh, yeah. I'm going to butcher this one. Clay Reckarer. Clay Reckarer. I don't know. It's one of you guys. Clay Reckarer. Is that what it is?
I think Clay Reckarer.
I only have her Instagram name, so it doesn't really count. I don't know the real person. That must be it. All right, Sean, what are, and Mike, you can also answer this. Sean, what are some of the big mountains that are on your bucket list?
I have to say, I think Whistler is on every skier's bucket list for sure.
Yeah.
It's been tough. I've played college hockey and, you know, youth hockey all growing up. So even places like Squaw and, you know, Jackson are definitely, you know, on the list. You know, stuff like the Palisades and stuff, I think, are, you know, something I've wanted to hit for a long time. I kind of want to ski the United States before I go over and travel through Europe and then Japan at some point.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. From a personal standpoint, Jackson, Squaw, definitely on the list as well. From a first chair perspective, Revelstoke, Fernie, those are two areas that are on the short list for next season. And as we continue to expand, I really want to get out there. Interior BC is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so much rad terrain there.
Good answers, boys. I think that makes sense. I got no problems there.
Appreciate the support.
Yeah, anytime. That's what I'm here for. Just to argue and be supportive every once in a while.
Everyone needs a friend like that.
Yeah, maybe. All right, let's find some more here. There's like, these are all long questions. Like, people, less words is good.
It's
like this
essays.
One, Mike, was it cool? What does that mean? What is Mike, like, what does that mean?
That's from Gabe. Thanks, Gabe. Yeah, so we were up at our buddy's summer cottage in Ontario. It was like right after college, and Gabe's wakeboarding and just goes down so fucking hard. Just absolutely wrecks himself. Head, face, just water, boom. And he had a concussion. So for the rest, I mean, we're up there, we're having a good time, partying, wakeboarding, water skiing. Yeah. And, you know, Gabe, are you okay? You okay? Oh, yeah, I'm great. I don't want to go into town. And so the rest of the day, he's dealing with this concussion, just kept saying, what was I doing? Was it cool? So that was kind of the theme for the rest of the trip. Gabe's an awesome dude. He actually does some ambassador work for us out on the West Coast. He lives out in Vegas now. Great guy.
Good for him, man.
Next question that we'll do here. What was your biggest, oh shit, I might crash moment? Or I'm going to ad lib a bit here. What was your biggest, I did crash moment? And what was the outcome?
I think there's a, on Whiteface, there's a section from Upper Skyward down to the Lower Skyward called Ladies Drop, back from the 80s Olympics. And when you're going up the chairlift, it looks like you can ski down through it.
Yeah.
But when you actually, like, because there's a cat track, you kind of go off of it, it's probably a good 30, 40 foot drop gap down through. And I took it way too fast.
Yeah.
And you're underneath the summit chairlift.
Yeah.
And you just in the landing super flat and just absolutely tumbled all the way. And, you know, got some hoot and hollers though, so I still felt good about myself. But I embraced the crash.
Well, if you're going to wreck, it's got to be under the chairlift.
Oh, it's got to be under the chairlift.
Yeah. It's got to be a good wreck.
Yeah, exactly. Probably my worst wreck was in Surfhaus in Austria, and I was skiing just off to the side of this T-bar up in the Alpine, and I'm cooking because, I mean, above the tree line, don't know how fast you're going, you know, probably doing 50, 60 easily, and I see this little berm. I'm like, oh, I'm just, you know, East Coast guy, see a little, you know, a little bump in the...
You want to jump anything you can.
Yeah, let's hit it. And it was not a little berm. It was just a straight up boulder. And both tips go in, and I just sailed. I mean, just fucking rocket, man. And tomahawks probably 10 times. Oh, I mean, lost everything. Gloves, goggles.
Wow.
I mean, and I'm in, you know, waist deep snow. Wow. And got a lot of cheers from the T-bar from the Austrian fans. So, you know, that was a pretty good wreck.
You had another good one too last year, right? Like on Go, like when we were on.
Oh, that first day. That was when we were hitting that day.
that little kicker thing that was over there, and the one that Eric backflipped, and you just fucking sent it a little bit, and you kind of like wobbled in the air, did the little dance in the air, and just like fucking bit it.
Rolling down the window.
Rolled down the legs, dude, too. Like he straight up was running in the air, and I was just like, all right, this is going to be good. Dude, it was bad.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
I got lucky last year for the most part, like because I'd had knee surgery over a year now, but at the time it was pretty fresh, so like my whole season I just took it super light. I barely did anything, and like even in Banff, like I still didn't do anything really. I just skied, and that was really it, you know. And then like at the end of the season, like in the spring, I started like feeling good again, and I was like, all right, like I'm gonna send some stuff. So I hit this thing going, same thing, way too fucking fast.
Yeah,
At J, I like clear over this little tree, right? And I get the fucking binding. I get the toe piece of those fishers stuck in the tree. And I just fucking flip over completely in the air and just fucking whack my head. And just like lights out for a second, like completely lights out for a second. Then I got right back up within like, I mean, this is all within 5 seconds, like blacked out for a second. Got back into consciousness, just went skiing, and then when I'm on the lift back up, I'm like, fuck, I'm kind of fucked up. And then I like start skiing downhill again. I'm like, oh, things are fine. And then like the rest of the day goes on and things are good. And by the end of the night, you're just like, I was puking blood, like like awful, like bad. Yeah.
Because we were supposed to ski together the following week.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
exactly.
You're like, I'm still not feeling great from this wreck.
I hit it hard.
And you ended up having a concussion, didn't you?
Oh, bad. Yeah. Really bad concussion for sure. It actually took a couple months to get over, like where it was just like all the time, like I wasn't sleeping. And you would get like one of the things with like bad concussions is like your mood changes because of it. Like you go in and out of being like super angry. Like somebody would be like, hey, Adam, and I'd be like, fuck you, like, get out of my, you know, like, literally, like, I'd just be, like, so angry for no reason, and it's just, like, that's one of the things, like, you start hearing about all these issues, like, especially in football players and all these other sports where, like, CTE is a big issue, concussions are a big issue, and you don't realize it, I guess, until you hit your head pretty good a couple times in a row, and you're just, like, because I had done it a couple weeks prior to that, and it wasn't bad. Like, I just whacked my head like a normal crash. And this one was bad, you know? So it was like two in a row. And I was like, fuck, this is like, if you did like 5-6 of these, you wouldn't be the same person. I mean, it's like, you'd be a psycho. So I tried to take it easy for the rest of the season. So I'm going to try to take it easy.
Got
to
wear a lid.
Yeah, always wear a lid. No, I mean, I always wear a helmet. I mean, I'm big on, not always, but I wear a helmet. I wear a helmet 60% of the time. So like, I always say that like, I wear a helmet when I feel like I'm going to get sketchy. And so like if I wake up in the morning and I feel sketchy, like literally I roll out of bed and I feel sketchy, I wear a helmet that day. Doesn't matter. Like I just and truly go by feel. So it's always worked out. And actually coincidentally, like that time I crashed in the spring, I wasn't wearing a helmet all morning. And then we went in for lunch and I was like, fuck, I feel like a sketchball. And then I put on a helmet, went back out, next run, whacked it so hard. Like, it's like it's a throwaway helmet situation, you know? So it's, I don't know. There's something to be said for following your gut, but I think everybody else should definitely be wearing a helmet at all times.
Oh. Yeah, all times. Yeah. I mean, and actually, when I was out on the scouting trip, I linked up with this, ran into these people in the lodge from Whiteface. And, you know, I ended, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, you know, Lake Louise running into these New Yorkers. And so I was skiing with them all day, them and their two kids, and are having a blast. And I peeled off towards the end of the day, and the father's skiing, last run, last day, per usual, right under the gondola at Lake Louise, catches an edge and just whacks his head. I mean, and he had to get lifted or bussed down to the hospital in Canmore. So, and after that, I used to be with you 60% of the time. I wear a helmet every time, but yeah. I'm 100%. I'm rocking the lid anytime I'm out there.
I just think it's smart. Helmets have gotten so much better now. Like, they're not as dorky as they used to be.
They're light. They're comfortable.
Everybody's wearing one. So the one dude that is making fun of you for wearing a helmet, like the one dude that has something to say about it, that dude smoked his shit. You know, like that dude's done.
Yeah,
like,
nobody
cares about what that dude thinks anyway. So I think everybody should be wearing one. It's a good idea. The only times I don't is because honestly, like sometimes I genuinely feel sketchier when I'm wearing it. Like, I feel like a sketchball sometimes, and I'm just like, maybe I shouldn't be a sketchball today. Like, you know, so, and I'm just, if I'm taking it easy, I'm just skiing groomers, I'm by myself, I'm taking laps, sometimes I won't, but I mean, you should be wearing it. I'm trying to get into the habit of wearing it every time. And I also have a lot of hair usually in the winter. Like, it's like my hair gets long and thick, and I just can't fit a helmet on, to be entirely honest. Like, it sits like up here, so I just for a lot of times it's just that's the reason, but we'll figure it out. All right, well, let's wrap this thing up. Where can people find you guys on the internet, on Instagram, whatever, and anything you guys got going on that people should be looking into? Plug away.
Yeah, no, my Instagram's probably the easiest way to kind of follow me and kind of figure out what I'm doing each day, whether I'm crashing a mountain bike or skiing some lines. My handle's at Sean, S-E-A-N, and then Bobby Phillips. You know, feel free to give me a follow or just take a look if you don't think my stuff's that cool.
And you can follow First Chair Travel at First Chair Travel Co. on Instagram. You can also find us online at firstchairtravel.com. Email at firstchairtravel@gmail. Been too cheap to go for G Suites yet, so we'll be changing the email eventually.
I like Gmail. Gmail's classy.
Yeah, it's classic. But, yeah, I mean,
makes you accessible. You're relatable.
We're relatable. Yeah, That's it. Yeah. That's what we're going for. Yeah, like I said before, you know, our focus is really booking up the March trip. We've got about an 80% retention ratio from the trip last year, which, you know, we had right around 20 people. So, you know, that's pretty sweet to see. And, you know, we're really stoked for the season, excited to get back and doing some East Coast skiing before we head out to Banff. And I'm sure we'll be crossing paths again soon.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
That was episode number 72. 72, yeah, with Mike O'Connell and Sean Bobby Phillips, both courtesy of First Chair Travel Co. A ton of fun talking to those guys. I hope everybody enjoyed the episode. Be sure to hit them up on the social media. If you have any questions about the trip, feel free to message me. I went on it last year, and it was a ton of fun. I cannot express to you what a good time it was. They are also doing a movie premiere of Katie Burrell's new movie, Dream Job. I like totally blanked for a second, even though I've seen it, of Dream Job in Boston at Parlor Skis, November 16th, 7 p.m. after the Boston Ski Expo. Definitely come out. If you are around, I would love to hang out with you guys. I'm going to do my best to be there, but it's going to be an awesome event either way. I guess not much more else than that. Thank you to Drink Tanks for sponsoring this episode, and we'll talk to you guys on Tuesday. Thanks.